Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. And you listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 750 AM.
It's time for that Monday NBA basketball talk. And trust me, there is plenty to get into over a wild, wild weekend that saw Luka Doncic go from Dallas to LA. And we can't forget the De'Aaron Fox deal, which everyone saw the writing on the wall. Maybe that's why it's not being as talked about as much, based on the fact that we all saw it coming. We'll talk about the inner workings of everything. Joining us right now over the phone, we have our NBA analyst, James Hollis. And James, it's great to get you back on after what was a wild weekend, perhaps the wildest weekend from player movement in the history of the league.
Yeah, I mean, we're old heads and we watch a lot of basketball. I cannot think of a more surprising, abrupt, seismic NBA trade. So that's why De'Aaron Fox and those guys are a little lucky, because the Kings' ineptitude is going to get swept under the rug because of the apparent Dallas ineptitude. So we got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, you know, that's a perfect place to start, right? So you talk about really, you know, Sacramento and what went on there, and it's kind of being swept under the rug. I mean, you and I can sit here and break down this trade, and we can look at how it affects the game on the court. I think that's been done by pretty much every single outlet or podcast or show, whatever it may be, over the last 48 hours. But what really stands out to me, James, what really stands out about these two deals over the weekend is one was done in complete secrecy, while the writing has been on the wall for the other one for the last couple of weeks. And as I sit and I try to dissect, okay, why was it done in this way? Why was it done, you know, in total secrecy? It is because the NBA is an agent-driven league. I don't think there's any question about it. When you look at the way that the Mavericks went about trading Luka Doncic, the only way the Mavericks could get the guy that they wanted, and apparently the guy they wanted is Anthony Davis, is to operate in total and complete secrecy. So I think we have to tip our hats to both the Lakers and the Mavericks for keeping this under wraps for, well, about a month. Apparently the first meeting between Nico Harrison and Rob Pelinka took place January 7th. They kept this under wraps for a full month in the NBA, in today's NBA. That's impressive.
Yeah, and I mean, we can say it started about a month, but we know, everyone knows by now, Nico Harrison was the Nike rep that kind of was dealing with Kobe, and the one who fumbled Steph Curry, famously. And then Rob Pelinka was Kobe's agent, so their relationship goes way back. They traveled the world together doing promo and stuff with Nike and Kobe, so they have a connection. So for me, the most fascinating part, though, is like all we can deal with is the evidence we have on hand, which is, one, Dallas went to the Lakers with this deal, and only the Lakers, and maybe, and I heard one more team. They came asking for a certain asking price, and Pelinka was able to work to whittle it down to just Anthony Davis, Christie, and the single pick instead of more picks, and not including Connect. And then that's all we have to work with. We there's vague stuff about conditioning and culture about why they traded him, but the guy was, I think, third MVP last year. The guy being Luka Doncic was third MVP last year, and this happened on a Saturday evening, then in the middle of the season. This just doesn't happen to premier superstars, and Luka is definitely a premier superstar. So, presenting the evidence that we have, either the Dallas front office is extremely inept and you know, maybe galaxy braining this, or there's stuff we don't know. And when you listen to that press conference by Nico Harrison, I almost feel like what's not being said is saying a lot. Just, it's very scripted. A lot of talk about culture. There's no definitive reason why. And so I'm fascinated to know in the next few weeks or months or years if more and more is going to come out about exactly what went on behind the scenes between Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks front office and brass.
Well, I think I can tell you right now, the main drawback here is they didn't want to give him a supermax of $345 million. I think that's number one. I think that what you have right now is an ownership group of the Dallas Mavericks. Remember, it's not Mark Cuban calling the shots anymore. And you and I have talked about this. You know, Cuban maybe got a little bit cheap after he won his first NBA championship. You can't put this on Cuban. He's not the one making the calls. I think when you have non-basketball people who buy an organization, the fact that a $345 million deal is almost inevitable next season scares that group. I think that's number one. That's, for me, that's what stands out here.
You absolutely might be the case. That makes as much sense, more sense than just what we know, the fact that we know. And the Dallas ownership group, I believe they have a background in the gambling industry.
Casinos, yep.
We're at casinos, and now there's a lot of talk about the movement to get gambling legalized in Texas, and they want to be in the forefront. So, you know, some people are hypothesizing that they want to end up getting a new arena that's also a giant casino and you know, have their fingers in that kind of thing on, at the ground floor. And I guess, you know, it's not about basketball. It's about money. And having an asset that's making that max money at $370 million contract, but that's a money-making machine. I still don't understand. Even if you don't want to pay him that money, he makes money for you, you know? So this will be fascinating to see how it plays out.
Yeah, when you look at the idea of, okay, they're concerned about Luka, they're concerned about the way he takes care of his body, they're concerned about the way he conditions, yada, 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 doesn't quite pass the sniff test considering you traded him for Anthony Davis. And then I could take it even one step further. If you needed to improve your rim protection, and it's all about culture and it's all about defense wins championships, why not shop Kyrie Irving first? Now, obviously, you're not going to get an Anthony Davis for Kyrie Irving. We know this. But you could certainly improve what you have as far as rim protection or front court depth by trading Kyrie Irving, who is also making $41 million and has a player option for next season. To me, the pieces were there, right? The pieces are there. And if you want to move someone, why not at least float Kyrie first?
We can talk about this forever because maybe Kyrie wouldn't give you Anthony Davis, but maybe Kyrie and Derek Lively does.
Maybe.
You know? And if you're talking about upgrading around Luka, nothing that we've been told, if you put all the pieces together, there are pieces missing. Nothing of this makes sense. So, hey, Nico Harrison has done some good things as far as they tanked to get Lively, which a lot of people roundly booed. It worked out. They made moves to get Gafford and PJ Washington, which initially, like, people were actually deriding those moves for giving up a first for Gafford. And that worked out. They ended up being a great defensive team and get to the finals. Nico has made a lot of good moves, and even the ones he didn't, like he made some, you know, letting Brunson walk, that wasn't necessarily his call. That was probably more the management, the guys above him. And no one thought Brunson would be an MVP caliber type guy. You know, but up until now, they seem like to be a pretty reasonable, logical front office. So to do something so illogical, either he's two steps ahead of us, he's missing a few synapses, or, you know, there's more information that we aren't privy to.
I do want to point out that while this deal, I mean, obviously you're giving away a 25-year-old generational player, as you mentioned, top three in the MVP voting. This guy dropped 70 last year. He took the Mavericks all the way to the NBA Finals. They were three wins away from achieving the ultimate goal. I mean, you go through, you take a look at every possibility as to why this looks stupid. I don't think we can ignore the fact, James, that they didn't just give Luka away. They did get a quality big man in Anthony Davis. Now, I get he's 31, almost 32 years old. I get that there's, you know, question marks to his availability, which, you know, has been pretty good, really, over the last couple of seasons. But I don't think we can ignore the piece that they get back in return. Is it Luka? No, it's not Luka, but you never get full value in return for a superstar. In the history of the NBA, you go back and you look at every single trade. You never get equal value for a superstar. It never happens. So the fact that they did get Anthony Davis, someone that they coveted here, I don't think we can ignore that.
Oh, absolutely not. And that's where I think there's a little, me and you know this, but there's a disconnect with the average fan, because it sounds like disrespect to Anthony Davis. It's not. It's just the fact that you're getting a guy in his prime, you know, entering his prime at 25, who's a five-time first-team All-NBAer. And Anthony Davis is amazing, but he's not that level. And he's also 32, and he's always injured. And the main thing I think a lot of people, you know, that know the NBA are having the big questions about, there was no opening up for bidding. And the lack of draft, like the relative lack of draft capital they got back, right? Kevin Durant got like four or five first round picks. Mikal Bridges, like five first round picks. Rudy Gobert, four or five first round picks. So if you're talking about you're making a franchise pivot and you get Anthony Davis, great. Not three first round picks, not two more. And like if you open up that bidding, other teams will give you more.
Maybe.
Anthony Davis.
More is a relative term, though. I you know, it doesn't matter to me if it's baseball, basketball, football. I personally do not covet draft picks. I simply don't. Especially when we're talking about a team that you expect to be competitive, right? I mean, we go back to the Minnesota Timberwolf-Utah Jazz trade. Yeah, it looked great at the time, right? The Jazz, they brought in all these draft assets, but you dealt Donovan Mitchell to Cleveland, you dealt Rudy Gobert to Minnesota. It's not as if you plan on these picks being within inside the top 5 to 10. And I think we have more misses in the first round of the NBA draft than any other sport in North America sports. So for me, draft picks, yeah, they're nice, but you can also get caught up in having 12, 13, 14 first-round draft picks, and guess what? You can't use all those picks.
Well, two things I'm going to say is you're right. Normally, I get it. I think sometimes we really do overvalue draft picks, but when you're betting on two stars who have injury issues and are in their early 30s, and Kyrie and Anthony Davis, it's okay to kind of stockpile for the future. And two, draft picks aren't just for using. It's also for now you package draft picks with P.J. Washington, you get another player.
Sure.
They're also part of they're part of your asset bank, your asset treasury. So you can use draft picks to get other players. You know what I mean? So that's where it comes up. I don't think they're done making moves, and if they want to make moves, the more draft picks you have to sweeten the pot, the better. That's where it comes down to for me with draft picks. It's not just for picking guys, because you're right. I think a lot of front offices do a poor job of talent evaluation, and it's just a crapshoot kind of in the draft,
mm-hmm.
right? But it's about having those assets, and the fact that they didn't acquire more assets for a guy like Luka Doncic is mind-boggling.
Okay. Do you believe the Dallas Mavericks can contend for the Western Conference crown as currently constructed?
If it was them versus the field, I'm taking the field. I think that they might have gotten incrementally worse than they were before the trade, because I get it. They really shored up their defense, and they have the blueprint to be an elite defensive team. But we've already seen that when Kyrie Irving is your best player, there's a certain ceiling on your team because of his size and the fact he doesn't make other guys better. And sure, him and Anthony Davis is a dynamic duo. They sound great on paper. But, you know, especially with Anthony Davis, his defense has slipped the last few years. And so now you got these two Robin-type, secondary-type stars. Not a superstar like Luka or like LeBron in his prime. You have these two secondary type stars with a lot of good pieces around them. I don't think they can contend. I think the Thunder are just head and shoulders above. I think a team like Denver with a guy like Joker who owns Anthony Davis is a team that's a cut above. I don't think they're going to contend this year. I don't know if they're going to contend. They're going to be good, and they're going to put, you know, I think a lot of fans are still going to come back, and they're going to get their playoff gate. Get that money, but I don't think they're going to contend.
I look at what they have now, and before they make another move, you just look at the starting five. Kyrie and Clay, run PJ right at the three. Anthony Davis gets to play his natural position at the four, and you run Gafford at the five. And then you take a look at the depth that they have coming off the bench. I mean, they also got Max Christie, who is a fine player. And he's not spectacular by any stretch of the imagination, but he's a fine player. You still have Exum and Dinwiddie and Marshall. I like the depth of this Maverick team. I'll put it this way. I think the Mavericks right now, as you and I talk here on this Monday after this massive trade, I do believe the Mavericks are built better as currently constructed to compete in the West than the Lakers are.
Oh, and I agree, before the trade and after the trade. For the simple fact that now with the Lakers, you got a little bit of redundancy, which is a good redundancy LeBron James and Luka Doncic. But now your whole defensive backbone, your whole defensive scheme, which is if we're going to go deep in the playoffs, we have to build out from Anthony Davis. He supports everything we do. He protects the rim. He covers up a lot of mistakes. He's gone. And their other centers are what? Jackson Hayes and that young kid. What's his name?
Galogo from Toronto, yeah.
Whatever his name is. The mm-hmm. point is there's no center there now. No one's scared of Jackson Hayes. They have no interior presence. And that, sure, in the next few days they're gonna address that, you know. But are they addressing the buyout market on some guy who's, you know, a bargain basement center? Are you going to really get an impact player? That's tough. So that's why the Lakers, I think, the Lakers are more set for long-term, right? Now their runway is for the next 10 years, we possibly can get Luka Doncic as the face of our franchise here in Los Angeles, which is a huge next 10, 15 years. We can have a certified superstar, which that's what L.A. is all about, that and winning championships. So I think for the Lakers, they are, no matter what, they made the deal because, hey, short-term, we don't really care. We're getting Luka Doncic into our program, and we're going to get him steeped in Lakers culture and hopefully have him here forever. That's where the Lakers, I think, already won. This is a home run for the Lakers.
It is a home run for the Lakers, but let's play devil's advocate here for a moment. What if they don't lock him up long-term? What if they don't?
So, and that's funny because, sure, he just missed out on, what, $113 million?
Yeah, cost him a lot of money.
Contract.
It cost a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. And we say missed out, it'd been guaranteed. Long run, he's going to make the same amount of money, right? Because I think the Lakers are going to extend him. They're going to be able to offer him a new contract in maybe, I think, in 2 years.
Mm-hmm, right.
So, and he'll make that same money. It's going to be a big, giant contract, whatever. But, yes, he's missing out on a guaranteed lot of money right now. But, again, we know that this franchise has deep pockets. They're not going to – they're going to do everything they can. They're on the red carpet. We know that the Lakers are historically – this is what they're known for. They treat their players like NBA superstars. So, yeah, there is a chance that Luka, you know, opts out of this contract or at the end of his deal here, I think 2026, that says, you know what, I'm going to try something else. The chances are very slim, narrow to none, but there's a chance. And then this Rob Pelinka is left holding the bag, where no Anthony Davis, no Luka, LeBron's, you know, on his way out. They are, other than cap space and those, that draft pick, they got nothing. So it would be cataclysmic, but they rolled the dice, and I think all 30 teams in the NBA, if they were offered that same position and they weren't in love with their superstar, would have done the same thing.
Okay, we talked about the fit for Dallas. I do want to get your thoughts on the fit for L.A., because one of the things that I don't believe is being talked about enough is that when you take a look at this Laker team, throughout really the last couple of seasons, this team was absolute dismal in half-court sets, creating your own shot. They all of a sudden are not dismal in that regard anymore. And we look at LeBron James being damn near 40. This may prolong LeBron's career. Like, I really believe taking away the creativity, or at least limiting the creativity that you rely on from a 40-year-old, could actually lead him to play another couple of seasons at least. And I don't think that's being talked about enough, that if he wants to stick this out in L.A. with Luka Doncic, this may add another year or two into LeBron's tenure.
It could. He can go to full-time power forward, really takes the playmaking responsibility off him, a lot of pressure off him. LeBron and Luka are two of the best and smartest offensive creators in the NBA has ever seen, as far as knowing where the players are, court mapping, manipulating the defense with the dribble. And, you know, Luka's a devastating, can be a devastating streaky shooter. So he spread the floor. He's also had that kind of bravado. The big thing is Anthony Davis was not really, he just wasn't the kind of guy to take that mantle, right? Hey, I'm ready to step up and be the face of the franchise. Anthony Davis, that's just not who he is. He played fine, but like he just never really stepped forward and took it. We know that Luka has that kind of brash outlook where he knows on the court. Right now, I'm a better offensive player than LeBron James, and he's going to play like it. So LeBron's always wanted the pressure off him, and I think this is the perfect, you know, the perfect scenario for him. But they still got to get another guy. They got to get somebody else if they really want to contend.
All right, before we end with this this Laker-Mavericks conversation, I do want to get your thoughts on San Antonio and Sacramento here in just a moment. I do want to end with this. When you take a look at the shift now in the NBA, LeBron knew about this deal, right? Like, we can stop that narrative, that rhetoric of LeBron was surprised when this deal went down. He knew this was going down, right?
I mean, you got to think so, right? They're all – everyone – what's the saying? Methinks thou dost protest too much. Everyone's making a big point of letting us know, oh, yeah, LeBron had no idea. He was a shot at everybody else. Okay, LeBron, you're LeBron James, but that's fine. I'm with you. I think he had to know.
I think he had to know, and I also believe because no agents were involved, if that was the case, right, if LeBron did not know, if he had no clue, if Rich Paul had no clue this was going on, this is the new way deals get done in the NBA because there's no influence on he will or he won't resign in this particular situation, right? Which can drive up the value. We saw it in New Orleans, right? I mean, it changed the trade landscape completely for Anthony Davis when it became known he's only going to accept an extension if he goes to LA. It changes things completely. So if he didn't know, this is the way deals get done moving forward in the NBA.
I'm going to disagree. I think this is just the accepted proves the rule. I think this is such an extraordinary set of circumstances that this is going to be held up as a fascinating case study for years. And I just, like, because it makes no sense for an owner to target another player and basically devalue their own asset to get it, which is what they did in Dallas. That they didn't get full value for Luka, and which I guess in a way is almost refreshing that they didn't try to bleed everything they could out of another team, but it doesn't make sense business-wise. This is a business. These are all entities that are about making money and asset acquisition, and they did a poor job of that here. So I don't think we'll see this again. Just the level of secrecy and all that makes it points again. I hate to sound like a broken record. there's something that we don't know. There's mm-hmm. stuff that we obviously don't know, something in these machinations that don't make any sense.
All right, James, before I let you go, Spurs, Kings, big deal. Bulls included in this as well. The Kings actually get Zach LaVine. They get a cocktail of draft picks as well. Spurs get De'Aaron Fox. Bulls get Zach Collins, Trey Jones, Kevin Huerter. You and I briefly text about this just last night. San Antonio is going to be a problem for about the next 10 years.
For sure. And this is a case of the Kings being the same old Kings and the Bulls being the same old Bulls. Terrible asset management by both of them. If you move Fox and you get Zach LaVine, you're just shuffling the deck, shuffling the deck chairs on the Titanic. It's you're not making a, you're not improving. But for the San Antonio Spurs, excellent move. De'Aaron Fox allows all the other players besides Wemby to kind of slot in their natural positions. They are asking way too much of guys like Sochan and Vassell. Those guys aren't prime time offensive guys, and they had to play like it sometimes, and the results showed really ugly. De'Aaron Fox is a high-caliber, all-star-level type guy. I think we might be overrating him just a little bit. People call him a superstar. He's not a superstar, but he's a really good player. And with Wemby, with the pick-and-roll and pick-and-pop, they should be deadly. It just adds a level of legitimacy to the Spurs. This is the first step, and they're going to be really, really good for the rest of the season and going into next season. Year three, Wemby and Fox are going to be dynamic. They still need a little more. They need another a third guy to kind of maybe a wing who can shoot and be like a high-level, almost all-star-level guy to be really potent. But the sky's the limit. You know, Wemby just hit 100 games. He's already breaking all these records, and now he has an all-star-level teammate. It's an incredible get for San Antonio.
He's James Holas, kind enough to join us each week. James, we could probably talk for about the next 5 hours. Unfortunately, we just don't have the time for that. I do appreciate you taking out the time to talk about what was just a wild, wild weekend of the NBA. And I've told people that I can assure you we're never going to see this level of straight chaos and shock again. I just don't ever see it happening. It's an anomaly, right? We talk about the trade deadline every year, and sometimes it doesn't live up to all the hype that we put around it. Well, it did this year, and we're still 72 hours away from it.
I mean, absolutely phenomenal. We're going to be talking about this Luka trade forever. The Celtics completed a 26-point comeback, and no one's talking about it.
Nope.
Such a dynamic, incredible move. Lakers fans should be rejoicing. Dallas Mavericks fans, my heart goes out to you guys.
James, it's always a pleasure to get you on the show. I appreciate the time.
You the man, bro. Thanks for having me on.
Always fun to get James here on the show. We could spend really the next week talking about what went down over the weekend. Love getting the insight. Always a pleasure to have James Holas here on Drive Time Sports. And with that, we are out of time on this edition of the show. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow. We'll start previewing Super Bowl 59, which you are going to be able to listen to right here on KOAL. We'll dive into that tomorrow. Until then, be safe. I am out.